to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everyone, to the award-winning political cesspool radio program syndicated coast-to-coast on AM and FM affiliates, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network. We're coming to you live this Saturday, September 19th, from our flagship station and home studios in AM 1380 WLRM in Memphis, Tennessee. I hope you enjoyed the first hour that was brought to you by my good friend Keith Alexander and I. I am now joined for tonight's second hour by my spirit pappy, old Papaw, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Eddie, how's it going?
Well, that's me, son, and I was never prouder to claim anybody for a spirit son than you, young fellow. And I was never prouder to claim anybody for a friend as Officer Jack McLam. I count myself worthy. We're gonna have a great program tonight. We're gonna talk about internment camps here in America with Officer McLam, who is pretty much of an expert on that, James.
Well, it's a big issue. It's obviously one that is not getting a lot of play, just like everything else you ought to know about and that you should know about and be aware of. It's just not something you're going to learn about if you tune into the Sean Hannity Show or any of the programs on CNN or MSNBC or the other so-called establishment and mainstream broadcast and media outlets and venues. But it's something we're going to cover on the political cesspool because, God knows, we like to cover it all. We like to cover all of the issues. We like to run the spectrum and bring forth engaging commentary and I guess try to present a professional image on some of these things that we hope you'll be educated to hear. Now, Eddie, obviously Officer Jack McLam is a fine man and a great American. He is or was the most highly decorated officer in the history of the city of Phoenix, Arizona, but there's much more to know about Officer McLam than just that. So, Eddie, with that being said, I'd like to turn it over to you for his introduction.
Well, all right. Well, good evening, Officer Mack. I could just call you Jack because I feel like I know you, even though I've never seen you in person. We've talked several times in the past. I used to tune in, you know, religiously to your program, I think, when you were on RBN. And I know that you have an organization. You headed up. You started the Aid and Abet organization. And another one, you have another organization, Police and Military Against the New World Order. Isn't that right, Officer Mack? Officer Mack, you there?
Officer McLam, are you with us?
I'm here. I can't hear Eddie Miller, though. If you could turn him up a little bit, I'd appreciate it. I didn't hear anything he said.
Well, I'm sorry. You know what? For some strange reason, I can hear you fine, James. I can barely hear Officer Mack myself.
We might have to do it the night that we interviewed Bo Greitz and do it on ham radio. Over.
That's right. Well, I tell you what. I'll just throw, since I can't hear Officer Mack until he gets going, I'd like to throw a few things out there myself that I've studied up on.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead, Eddie, and then we'll bring in Officer McLam.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people might say, "Well, what evidence do we have that these camps exist?" Well, you know, I've looked into this phenomenon for years now. I've heard it from more and more people, the caliber of Officer McLam. Hey, I've seen a suspicious camp myself. James, you know I was in the regular Army, and you may remember I was in the National Guard for a while. And, you know, I was in Fort Stewart, Georgia on field training exercises about 1989 before I got out of the Guard. Me and some buddies, after the training exercise was over, we were down there in the National Forest piddling around, and we came up on this place out in the middle of the nowhere, right out in the middle of the forest, with either barbed wire, double barbed wire fences, with towers where you'd have guard towers with guns, maybe machine guns. We had the quarantine huts out there, everything you would need for a guard camp. But what they're doing, they have these camps everywhere in all these military bases that have been shut down. I'm hearing more and more people say they're using those. But another, you know, the Army has given themselves away, and, you know, the Army just recently placed an ad. You can go in the Internet. You can Google it up. It'll say, you know, you can Google in, like, Army internment camp guards. The Army has placed an ad in there to train. They want to hire guards for internment camps. and they're willing to train them. And it gives the qualifications in there to be one. And what's interesting, James, what's really chilling, you don't have to be really a citizen to be a internment camp guard. They're bringing these people in the United States Army that are felons. They're taking, they take them out of prison.
Right. Eddie, I don't mean to interrupt, but they're putting those same felons, expunging their records and putting them into the regular army overseas, doing God knows what. But listen, before we pursue that,
I hope we get Officer Jack on because he's seen these things. He has.
Yeah, we've got to turn it over to the expert here. Not that you're not an expert, Eddie. Certainly you are on many things.
I'm nothing compared to Officer Jack. I'm here to tell you.
We got to defer to the guest from time to time too. But now, Officer Jack McLam, it's obviously a pleasure to have you back on the program. It's been a while since you were last with us. It goes without saying, and I guess everybody can pick up on the fact now that we are having you on to talk about internment camps. A lot of people would say they don't really exist. That's just an urban legend. The American government would never do that to its own citizenry. What would you say to those people, Officer Jack?
Well, I just so you know, I can hear you fine, James, but I can't hear Eddie Miller at all. I mean, I can just hear his voice in the background. But anyway, we have worked now for 30 years as volunteers here at our two police and military associations, aid and abet police military newsletter on constitutional issues, and our sister group that's become an international group now, Police and Military Against the New World Order. And we have a lot of contacts in the military and in law enforcement, local, state, federal, and they know that these concentration camps are being built, and we hear from our military intel people that, and we've also get publications here like Police Times, Army Times, Navy Times, Marine Times and all, and we see ads here now for the National Guard and the Army to get internment officers to join, to hire. They're putting ads out to hire internment officers, and we've seen several of them now. So these internment camps being built by Halliburton and Kellogg, Brown, and Root are for real. A matter of fact, 25 years ago, I think it's about 25 years ago, when Ronald Reagan was in office, he asked for 10 of these camps to be built in his budget. He had 10 of these internment camps being built in his budget, and that was right out there for everybody to see that followed things like that, but not many Americans do. But they're for real, and Halliburton, who is run by Vice President Cheney, and he said he stepped down when he was vice president, but he didn't. He still makes millions of dollars a year off Halliburton and our tax dollars, but they're definitely for real, and the National Guard and Army is hiring internment officers right now. If you'd like to be one, you can go to the National Guard and Army and sign up to be an internment officer, because they're going to need hundreds of thousands of them to handle all the concentration camps that are being built across the United States today. And some of our military bases have been shut down. And remember, this is coming to us through our military intel officers and also from federal FBI agents, CIA agents and all, who have been sharing this information with us for quite a long time, for many, many years, at least 25 years. And they've got a bunch of them built. And they also have the UN programs, these UN biospheres, where we can't go into, or you're not supposed to be able to go into. They have these UN biosphere programs to where there's no people allowed except for those that are doing evil. And we've had some of our soldiers, retired soldiers and regular Army and others, sneak back into these biospheres and found all this military equipment, Russian and everything, in these biospheres where they're being hidden for martial law.
Officer McLam, if you don't mind,
yeah.
We've got to take a break. I appreciate you setting the table for what will be the topic of discussion for the rest of this hour. We're going to take a short commercial timeout and hear from our sponsors. The Political Cesspool will return with our featured guest for the evening, Jack McLam, right after this.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Thank you, Art Frith. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, we will be having an open mic hour during tonight's third and final hour. And I would ask you to stay those phone calls until then, because I'm looking forward to receiving them and spending that hour one-on-one with you here in the political cesspool. Continuing on now with our featured guest for the evening, Officer Jack McLam. It goes without saying, ladies and gentlemen, that any time we present for your listening pleasure a specific topic on this radio show, we try to get the very best as our guest to discuss whatever issue it is. We try to get experts, people with credentials. And obviously, when we're interviewing a man like Jack McLam, the most decorated officer in the history of the city of Phoenix, Arizona, not to mention his stint as a radio host and an investigative journalist, his credentials and authority to speak on this issue are above reproach. And that issue in question is the construction and management of internment camps by the United States government. Officer McLam, I think during the first segment you provided pretty solid evidence that these camps do, in fact, exist. The next question would have to be, how many of them are there, and where are they located? Obviously, they have to be, they have to be, you have to be able to see them. But where are they at? How many?
Well, when I was in Arizona, we would get calls from people to go to Prescott and to go to different places down to southern Arizona and out to the west of Arizona, and we saw these camps. We went ourselves, and they had strange names on them at that time. They had like Count Dracula. They had all kinds of funny names on them, and they didn't have people in them yet, but they had these high wired fences like 10 foot tall and the barbed wire pointing in instead of out. So it wasn't to keep people from climbing into them, but it was to keep people from climbing out of them. And so we've seen a number of them ourselves. Now there's literally hundreds and hundreds of them. And we hear in Alaska they've got several that'll hold several million people. In Alaska, they have so much land up there, they're building huge ones, and they usually always have a rail service going to them, a train rail service going to them to carry the people in these boxcars. And we're getting calls from all over the United States here at our two police and military associations of people seeing these white boxcars parked outside their cities along the rails, the train rails off to the side, and they're UN white. And they have no windows in them, so you can't see inside of them. But we've had several people tell us that they've seen inside them who worked for the railroads, and they have shackles connected to the walls and to shackle hundreds of people in these boxcars, and they're placing these boxcars all over the United States now. We have some out here in the western northwest, matter of fact. And so they're getting prepared for military rule. And I don't know if your listeners know this or not, but under Communist Chertoff, who was head of Homeland Insecurity, he didn't know how to set up a Soviet-style totalitarian military rule system, so he hired Marcus Wolf, who is the top mass-murdering communist in Germany, East Germany, head of the East German Stasi, right under him, and he hired Primakov, the head of the KGB, right under him there at Homeland Insecurity, and gave them the job of setting up this totalitarian Soviet-style system here in America, this military rule system, and they've already completed it. And so they moved out Chertoff someplace. We can't find him right now. He's still around. He's so evil, they're sure going to use him probably to run this whole internment system. But we had several Russian people. He's a Russian communist, and they told us that his name Chertoff means son of the devil.
I have read that before. I think that's factual. Yes.
Yeah. And so anyway, they've got the system all set up, and we've heard from our military intel for 2 years now that they are waiting for another. They told us that the CIA and the Mossad did 9/11, and that the CIA and the Mossad was working on another attack on America in five cities. That they were going to attack five cities across the United States and scare the bejeebers out of the American people, to where they will accept military rule, the Soviet-style totalitarian military rule system. And sure enough, what they did, military intel told us they weren't sure what kind of an attack it would be. It might be biological. So they created the swine flu at Fort Detrick, Maryland, in the military bio lab there, bio warfare lab, and spread it in five cities in the United States at one time. It broke out in five cities in the United States, and so we have that attack on America, which is a phony attack, because what they did was our military intel people told us that they dug up bodies back in 1918 that had died of the swine flu here in America, and took DNA and body parts from the bones and all, and created the swine flu in a biowarfare lab in Fort Detrick, Maryland. The same place, by the way, they created the AIDS virus and the Ebola virus, and the World Health Organization took it to Africa, and under the phony fraud of giving them flu shots there in Africa, the Africans, who they call useless eaters, they started the AIDS virus there in Africa and blamed it on the green monkey. And the monkey didn't have anything to do with it at all. We know that it was created at Fort Detrick, Maryland, on purpose to lower the population of the world. And same with the swine flu. Now, the swine flu has a buddy that is more dangerous than the swine flu, and that's the poisonous swine flu vaccination that they built.
To kill
millions and millions of Americans and people around the world, and they're going to inject our children with it very soon, within weeks, and kill off as many children as they can in the school without the permission of the parents. Now, all of this is coming from our military intel people and civilian intel people with the CIA and the Mossad, and we do have friends in the Mossad, Jewish friends. We have a lot of Jewish American patriots and in the military and law enforcement that keep us abreast on what the Mossad's part is in all of this, and it's a very big part. And so they're getting ready to declare martial law with this swine flu fraud as a pandemic. You know?
Officer McLam, with that, we got to take another time out. Set tight. More to come when the cesspool rolls on.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards, Eddie Miller, Officer Jack McLam, our guest tonight. I got to be honest, I hope that Officer McLam is wrong about some of this stuff, because if he's not, and time will certainly tell, our people, people who have been absolutely rendered impotent in terms of speaking up and acting out in defense of their own sakes, are going to have to obviously take action for a change. And I don't know if I think we might be ill-equipped to do it. But Officer McLam, before you go this evening, I know we have a few more minutes with you. I want to give you the opportunity to provide resources for our listeners to go and read more about this themselves so that they can form their own conclusions. But returning to the internment camp, sir, if you don't mind, just for a moment here, I got to ask you another obvious question. I'm sure it's a question that most people would want to know because it probably affects them.
Okay.
Why are they building them, and who do they intend to populate them?
Well, we've learned for a long time. When I was a police officer in Phoenix, Arizona, the FBI put out a brochure for the eyes of police officers only that listed Christians and constitutionalists and patriots as suspected domestic terrorists.
Yeah, and see, and we know that this has already been put into further practice with that report out of Missouri that was well documented.
That's right, and Homeland Insecurity, that lesbian Janet Napolitano put this out too, in a paper she wrote, that returning veterans are suspected domestic terrorists.
That's right.
Because they're scared to death that the patriots, that some of the soldiers are patriotic, and they will join the people and help the people train militarily against the Antichrist world government system that has control of us today.
Well, Officer McLam, that was actually my very next question, because I pretty much knew what the answer was going to be. It was obvious that they intend for, you know, the people with an America First mentality, Christian constitutionalists, the same people who were of the make and mold of the founding fathers. These are the enemies of their state. These are the people that they would like to see put away. And if, in fact, push comes to shove and they do begin trying to implement such a policy, which would seem so far-fetched, ladies and gentlemen, but it has happened in so many countries in very recent history. Why couldn't it happen here? Well, certainly it could if we don't take measures to stop it. Now, how much public support, Officer McLam, do you think this would have if our neighbors saw people like me and you and Eddie rounded up and boxed off to Alaska because we are constitutionalists? Would the public go along with that? I guess they would, right?
Well, we have a deep concern over this because they've been putting fluoride in our water for about 16, 17 years now. And the Russians and the Nazis used fluoride in the water to keep the people docile, to make them docile so they couldn't rise up and take a stand against this evil system.
I must be immune to fluoride then. I don't know, maybe it doesn't take with some of us.
Well, yeah, that could very well be true, but they've been putting it in our water now to make us docile so we can't rise up. But, of course, my wife and I use well water up here, and we don't drink city water. And so we've got our own water supply, and we also have purification systems here in the house against the chemtrails and all that.
Yeah. Well, I see. So I guess that would perhaps play a role in the willingness for the general public to go along. But the general public would go along with anything that's in vogue or favorable in the media's eyes. So I don't know. Maybe you can't count on their support. I could certainly see most police officers and law enforcement officials going along with this. But surely there would be some dissent even there, right?
Oh,
or wrong.
Yes, there's a lot of dissent in law enforcement and the military. Matter of fact, when the FBI put out that brochure for the eyes of police officers only, the police that were patriots and Christians and constitutionalists made hundreds and hundreds of copies and handed it out to the public in Phoenix. And there was such an outroar that the FBI withdrew the flyer and said, oh, that was some rogue agent out there that made that up. Some rogue agent. But we've seen it come out in Homeland Insecurity, the same thing, that those that voted for Ron Paul are suspected domestic terrorists.
That's right. And that's official, folks.
Revolutionaries, yeah.
And without question.
So all these people that are supporting the country and the Constitution and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are their enemies because they won't make good slaves. And so we have list after list after list here of quotes by these international criminals, banksters, and others, these very wealthy men that all have at least $10 billion each, or you can't be in the club. And they have so stated that they want to only have 500 million people on Earth to be their slaves, and they want to eliminate the other 6 billion people. And they're trying to do that with the swine flu vaccination. The Baxter Company and Novartis have made this swine flu vaccination. And if you remember, Baxter was caught here about 9 months ago sending out to 18 different countries poisonous vaccines with the avian flu in it to 18 countries to start killing off the people in those nations, and they called it the human flu vaccination. But luckily, Czechoslovakia took the flu vaccine that Baxter had set out to those 18 countries, and they tested it on ferrets, and all the ferrets died within hours. And so they checked it further and found out it had the avian flu in it. So these are very evil, evil, satanic men and women that we have dozens and dozens and dozens of their quotes about killing off the world population so they can get it down to where they can manage it at 500 million people to be their slaves all over the world. And they're using the phony environmental movement, too, that was created in 1967. In the report from Iron Mountain, it's right in there that they wanted to find something to scare the people of the world with, and they decided to start this environmentalist movement saying that the people of the world were destroying the planet and the people of the world were the enemies of the planet. And so that's exactly what they did in 1967. They started this environmentalist wacko movement saying that we were destroying the planet, and it's not true at all. I mean, there is pollution, yes, but we're not destroying the planet. But they've got all of our government fool systems now where we send our kids to the government fool system, and our kids are being dumbed down. 50% graduate from high school now, and they can't read, and they're being taught homosexuality in kindergarten classes now. That was on Fox News here the other night, but we heard about it 2 years ago where they have the homosexuality being taught down in kindergarten. And so the government school system is where they're going to start giving out that very poisonous swine flu vaccination in the weeks ahead. So we advise people on my radio show, and all of our police and soldiers are taking their kids out of the government fool system and homeschooling them at home, because they're going to do this without the permission of the parents and try to kill off as many of our kids as they can. And, of course, the kids will bring this virus home to their families and spread it throughout their families, too. It has the vaccine has the swine flu in it. It has the avian flu in it, and it has the human flu in it, and it has squalene and mercury, and all these things are deadly. My wife is a Gulf War sick vet from the first Gulf War. She spent 22 years in the military, and they poisoned her with the anthrax vaccination that had squalene in it. And 15,000 of her brothers and sisters perished after getting the anthrax vaccination. And she was running 3 miles a day. And 2 weeks after that shot, anthrax shot, she could barely walk.
Well, Officer McLam, because of that thing, I hate to hear that. But we've got to take another time out. There's one more break, sir. If you could stay with us just long enough to come back with us on the other side and give us some contact information and some more research material for our audience, I would greatly appreciate it. And then we might even let Eddie Miller talk. But sit tight, everyone. The Political Cesspool continues right after this.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Remember, everyone, we are going to be having an open mic hour during our third hour coming up in about 15 minutes. I'm going to be taking your calls, and we're going to be covering a flurry of contemporary headline news topics, stuff that made the news in the last week since our last broadcast. We're going to be presenting them to you with our flair and panache and our commentary. So, and I want to hear your opinions on it. So we're going to be opening up those phone lines in just a few moments. But before we do that, Officer Jack McLam, I want to thank you again, sir, for being our guest this evening and presenting us with so much information to chew and digest. I know you're having a hard time hearing Eddie Miller, and I need to get to him as well. But before you go, could you please direct us to your website or any website that you would recommend so that people may further research the information you've presented them this evening?
Okay. Yes, brother. Well, before I go to my website, let me say for all of those hard-headed out there that are having a hard time believing what we're talking about today, Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, head of the FBI, which was not a homosexual, the media painted him that way, because I have good FBI friends that knew Hoover very well, and he wasn't a homosexual, but he was murdered in 1972 when he was collecting data on all these international criminals and storing it in the FBI. And so they put a material on his doorknob, and within hours he had a heart attack and died. But he said, the individual is handicapped by coming face-to-face with a conspiracy so monstrous that he cannot believe it exists. And that's our problem today. When we put out this information to the general public, they say, oh, how ridiculous that is. This is America. This can't happen here. But they don't realize that if they would read the Holy Bible, Jesus Christ talks about this in Revelations, that he said that they know the blasphemy of those who say they're Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And, of course, these people exist. And Jesus Christ said that. They're the ones that control us today, the communist Zionists today, the military and everything, and we hear this from our military intel, good Jewish brothers and sisters in the military and law enforcement who love America and are trying to expose these things, but if they expose it too much, they get murdered, just like Pat Tillman did in Afghanistan. He found out that the only reason we're in Afghanistan was to replant the poppy fields that the Taliban destroyed and the international banksters in New York were losing $300 million a year, or no, a month, actually, $300 million a month. And so they control us, and they control our military, so we went to Afghanistan to kill off the Taliban and to replant the poppy fields, and we've now planted 30 times the poppy fields in Afghanistan, our soldiers have. And Pat Tillman, the great football star here in America, and his brother joined the U.S. Army Rangers, and he found out the truth. Now, his mistake was mentioning that he was coming back to the United States to tell the truth to the American people and take over the anti-war movement. And 3 days later, he was shot 3 times in the forehead and died there in Afghanistan because they couldn't allow him to do that. And so this is what's going on, folks, that you're not hearing about, and I'm just so happy that our brothers here are putting this information out to you, but you have to do your own research and prove that it's true. And you can go to our website. It's simple. It's Police and Military Against the New World Order, but it's much easier to get to than that. You can just put www.jackmclamb.com. M-C, capital L-A-M-B, just like a lamb, and it's .org, www.jackmclamb.org is our website, and you can get a hold of us there, and we have military intel coming into us all the time. We get 200, 300 email a day, and much of it is from our soldiers and police officers and local, state, and federal agencies that are sharing this information with us so we can put it out on the radio ourselves and put it out in our publications. So that's how to get a hold of us, folks, at www.jackmclamb. No break there. That's one word, jackmclamb.org.
Jack McLamb, everybody. Officer McLamb, thank you, my friend, for your service and for your willingness to appear this evening, and thank you for your continued efforts on behalf of America.
Well, God bless you too, brother. I have 9 grandchildren, and everything you guys do there blesses my grandchildren, and so maybe we can expose enough of this that we can take America back without firing a shot. That is my hope.
That's the goal, and that's our aim. Thank you again, and together that just might be possible.
Okay, God bless you guys.
Jack McLamb, everybody. Certainly a very interesting interview. Obviously, that's sort of off the beaten path of our standard fare here on the Political Cesspool. We're well known for covering a lot of issues, primarily contemporary issues that you read about daily, I guess. We just give you our spin on it, and certainly we have different activists and elected officials on to tell you their stories. But we do try to cover it all. Obviously, that was an interview that you might have a hard time swallowing. I think a lot of it is very provable. It's not much of a stretch to understand and believe that the government would build these internment camps. We know out of Missouri, it was very well documented and very well publicized that they did, in fact, list Ron Paul supporters and constitutional advocates as terrorists. So this is something that is real. There were some things that Officer McLamb said that I don't necessarily subscribe to. But unlike Sean Hannity, I'm not a host who is going to berate and challenge guests just because I might not necessarily agree. Perhaps he's right. We'll let the truth be known. I guess we'll find out soon enough. But you should be aware, and you should be entitled to do your own research and form your own conclusions and opinions on the matter. And we'll just see how it all plays out. But Eddie Miller, I know this was an interview that you were interested in. Obviously, some technical difficulties there that happen sometimes in live radio. You've got a lot to say and not a lot of time to say it.
Well, I'll try to sum it up best I can, son. And I do call you son because I feel like you're my son. You know, I guess to sum up, people will say, well, why would they want to have internment camps in America? Well, you know, these are globalists we're fighting against. We're not fighting against, unlike one of my own brothers, you know, I don't subscribe to the fact that we're fighting against liberals and conservatives. You know, if you look at the people we're fighting against, it's like the Bible says, we fight not against flesh and blood; we fight against principalities. And you and I, James, are Christians. We're staunch Christians, just like our other brothers on the cesspool. And these people, these globalists, the handful of globalists that are running this big evil
operates against us, they are Satanists. I mean, it's well known. It's in their own print. You can look at it. And the reason they want to do with us, James, they have to get rid of the United States and our constitutional republic and the people that will fight to the death to defend that constitutional republic, or they can't put the last finishing touches. They just need a few more touches on their one-world government and their international bank-run monetary system. And, you know, just to, I'll have to speed this up, but just to give you a few facts, you know, I was watching a CD I ordered from Aaron Russo about this, said America from Freedom to Fascism. Here's a few facts people could look up themselves. Don't take my word for it. Under our beloved Republican President Bush and Reagan, and you know, the Bush too, they have executive orders have been put in that gives the president the authority to impose martial law to suspend habeas corpus. It also gives them the government the right to jail any citizen for life without a trial and without even access to a lawyer, James. All they have to do, James, is the government, all they have to do is say that you're a suspected terrorist. I mean, with no proof whatsoever. You can look up executive order number 11921. People can look these up, you know. I know I'm having to go fast. That says that the president can declare a state of emergency that is undefined, and the Congress can't even review that the executive order and the reason for that order being put in for at least 6 months. And here's some more interesting executive orders I'm going to flip over here to. Executive order number 10999 allows the government to take over all modes of transportation. They just about have that now. Executive order number 11,000 allows the government to mobilize civilians into work brigades under the supervision of the government. Hey, and that's going to be from kids up to people older than me, James. And I tell you what, I feel pretty old when it comes to doing all this manual labor. They also, they have the executive orders allow this under Senate. Well, here's a Senate bill, number 1873, allows the government to vaccinate you with untested vaccines against your will.
Well, Ed, and, you know, you and I covered a segment on vaccines a couple of weeks ago. But listen, we've only got 10 seconds to break, and okay. I know you've got far more material than that. Stick with me during the commercial break. I want to talk to you off air, and then okay. We'll be back with the third hour right after this. Sit tight, everybody. We're going to go to your calls and cover a lot of material when the cesspool continues, a variety of topics. We'll be back right after this.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.